That was a paraphrase of the 124th Psalm. And now I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version. This is a psalm that reminds us that biblical faith is a rescue religion. Biblical faith is not about people who had really pretty good lives and just needed a little spiritual seasoning to make it so much better. Biblical faith is about people who were dead in their trespasses and sins and were delivered by the mighty and loving hand of God. So let's listen to the Word of God, Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us, and over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us to the prey. He has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever really, really needed rescue? Needed help? Needed 911? Needed the cavalry to show up? I once asked that question, and there was a Native American gentleman in the audience who said, you know, Phil, not everybody wants the cavalry to show up. I'm going to tell you a story from my misspent youth, and I think this might even be a new one to Sharla. When I was a college student, some friends and I decided that a fun thing to do would be on spring break to go to Tijuana, right? And so we make a, you know, it's a road trip. We make the drive down to Tijuana, and we're doing all the touristy things, the Avenue of the Revolution, you know, if you've been there. There's 500 shops that all sell exactly the same things. Huarache sandals and ponchos and leather jackets, right? Well, it got to be dinner time, and we decided, hey, let's get off the beaten path. Let's get away from the tourist area and find some authentic Mexican food, okay? So we go far from the tourista area, and we found this place that, to be honest, it looked really, really sketchy. And being really stupid, we thought, so much the better. More authentic. Well, we go in, and it's smoky, and there's music playing, and it's crowded. And we're sitting there eating our tamales. And all of a sudden, I look up from the table, and I look at the table next to me. And there is a very tough-looking man, and he's glaring at me. And I think to myself, well, nothing a smile won't fix. I said, hola, which apparently was not the greeting that he was looking for. And he became very angry and very agitated and started yelling at me. Now, my Spanish is not good, but it had something to do with my mother. I smiled again. which was also a mistake. He stood up and walked over to my table and stood over me. Now, I can laugh about this now, but I'll be honest with you, I was terrified. This was a very dangerous-looking individual. Fighting is not my long suit. And I turned to my friends that I was with, and I said, we need to go now. We stood up, I stood up, and now I'm face-to-face with this guy. He backed away, he got quiet, he sat down. I thought, he didn't want to tangle with me. I turned around to go pay my bill and bumped into the two Marines who were standing right behind me. I'm not making this up. Two Marines had come over from the bar and were standing right behind me. You need any help? I don't remember what I said, but I said, thank you. We're going to leave. When you get in a jam, you want the United States Marine Corps on your side. Take that little scenario and multiply it by several billion. And that's what David is celebrating in the 124th Psalm. We were in a terrible fix. Our lives, our very lives, were threatened and in danger. And God, you rescued us. If it had not been, verse 1, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. And David goes on to describe these forces that were against them as a flood that would have raged over them and drowned them. The word pictures, one after another, are pictures of complete and utter helplessness. Look at verse 7. He says, we have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Now, we're not terribly familiar with fowlers' snares, but a fowler was somebody who caught birds to be eaten, and they would use a net, and once a bird is in that net, he's not getting out. So we're unfamiliar with that, so I'm going to update the image a little bit. Picture that Doug and James Burke, and I'm sorry that James isn't here this morning, he'd be embarrassed by this. Doug and James Burke, I will vouch for them, are expert hunters. Now picture that they are well camouflaged in a little stand of trees, and there's a flight of doves coming in. And they come in with about 20 yards, right? Yeah, they're dinner, right? Yes. But Doug and James, they stand up, they blast away, smoke clears, the birds go flying away, unharmed. And then Doug and James can argue about which one of them popped up too soon. David and his people were in grave danger, and then God intervened to rescue them. Now, we can use our imagination. David is not specific about what incident in Israel's history he has in mind. Maybe he's talking about when God led the people out of slavery in Egypt. And remember, God broke the power of Pharaoh. God broke the will of Pharaoh. But then, of course, and then the people were set free. They marched out peacefully in triumph. But then Pharaoh's heart was hardened again, and he sent his army. And remember, the people of Israel made it to the banks of the Red Sea. And Pharaoh's army with horsemen and chariots coming after them. There's no escape. They're pinned up against the Red Sea. It looks like absolute, complete disaster. And then God tells Moses, raise your staff. The waters of the Red Sea are parted. The people pass through in safety. And then the waters close in on Pharaoh's horses and chariots. Perhaps David was thinking of his own life when Goliath taunted the army of Israel. Now remember, Goliath was this enormous warrior, and even the most seasoned, battle-hardened soldiers of Israel were terrified of him. It says in 1 Samuel 17, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. To fight Goliath was suicide. And remember, he had challenged them. He said, look, we don't have to have a big battle with everybody. You just send one man out to fight me, and that'll settle things. Well, all the big, brave soldiers of Israel are cowering, and up comes little teenage David. He says, I'll fight him. And remember what Goliath said? Goliath said, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And God did. These are just two in the history of Israel. We could cite many more. When Israel was on the brink of destruction and God intervened and rescued them. They experienced great deliverance because they have a great God. And that's what Psalm 124 is all about. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Now, if those words sound familiar, we heard those words just a few weeks ago in Psalm 121. Remember, I lift my eyes unto the hills. From where does my help come? My help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now that phrase here is repeated again, the Lord who made heaven and earth. The psalmist wants to remind us that God is the creator. If you begin to doubt the power of God, or if you begin to think that there's something that God can't do in my life, it's too big. The psalmist is telling us, look at creation. This is the God who made the heavens and the earth. And imagine for a moment how beautiful, how vast, how immense is creation. This is the God who made billions of galaxies and in each one billions of stars, who made the mountains and the valleys and the oceans and all of the creatures of the earth. Nothing is too big for God. Our help is in the name of the Lord. David wants us to look back and see God has delivered in the past so we can have assurance in this moment that God will deliver us today. Now maybe you've never been in a Mexican cantina and threatened by a guy who is going to kill you. But this psalm applies to you. This psalm applies to me right now. Because brothers and sisters, the predicament described in Psalm 124 describes every human being on earth. The earth was about to swallow us up. Sin was about to swallow us up and destroy us. Sin was about to sweep us away like a flood. In our brokenness and in our sin and in our rebellion, we were like a lamb in a lion's mouth. We were like a bird in a fowler's snare. You know, the deception of sin is we think we can control it. We think we can manage it. We are little birds in a fowler's snare. Helpless. But here's the precious truth. God was on our side. And I really wonder if Paul had Psalm 124 in mind when he wrote Romans 8. If God be for us, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, there's a number of really great truths here, and I want to focus in on Romans 8. First of all, Paul is celebrating our past deliverance. He says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all." So Paul is just drawing a really simple chain of logic. He's saying, look, God gave up his son for you. What do you think now he's not going to give you? He gave up his son for you. What will he now withhold from you? When Jesus Christ died for us, the Father poured out on his Son the punishment that was due to us. Remember, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He wasn't crying out because the people had, human beings had done him wrong, and human beings had. They put him through the mockery of a trial. He was rejected. He was abused. He was abandoned by his friends. But that's not why he says, why have you forsaken me? It's because the Father has poured out on him the rejection that was due to us. And Jesus freely chose it to cleanse away our sin, to make us new, to atone for our sin, to satisfy God's justice, to put aside God's wrath, and to secure God's mercy for us. Second, Paul celebrates our future assurance. First, it was our past deliverance, but he also celebrates our future assurance. He says, how will God not also with him graciously give us all things? Once again, God didn't spare his own son. What's he going to withhold from you when he's given you that gift? The cross is the guarantee of the continuing, unfailing love of God. God has given all. God delivered us from bondage to sin, and he's going to see us through to the end. And I just, for emphasis, it's not our faith in Christ, and you'll often hear people speak this way. It isn't our faith in Christ that saves us. It isn't our hope in Christ that saves us. It isn't our steadfast hold on Christ that saves us. It's the cross of Christ that saves us, and that's why we're assured. It's not about us. It's about him. And finally, Paul celebrates our present confidence. If God is for us, who can be against us? From start to finish, the scripture is emphatic. There's no resistance to God. God will accomplish what he sets out to do. If I could convince you of just one thing this morning, it's that God is for you. God is not against you. God is for you. He's on your side. He's got your back. He has rescued you from sin and death, and he's not going to let you go. As Paul said, if God is for us, God is for us. Who can be against us? God has not promised to deliver us from all trouble. You already knew that, but I'll remind you anyway. He's not promised that we will never be in danger. He's not promised that the Marines will always show up. He's not promised we'll never be in danger, that we won't have great pain and great loss and great sorrow. But God has promised that nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing in all creation can ever separate us from his love. Remember that Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. We're on a journey. This, our theme this summer is upward, the Psalms of Ascent, because we are also on a journey upward, aren't we? We're on a journey through this world to our ultimate destination with the Lord. And as we continue on this journey, brothers and sisters, we look back and we see the mighty work that God has done on the cross of his Son to save us and deliver us and make us new. And we walk now in the light of that deliverance, and we look to the future in the certain hope. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Why don't you say it with me? Our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you are our help, and we thank you for your steadfast faithfulness, that even though we are fickle, you never change. And you've made an eternal pledge to us and to all of this world. The cross of Jesus has been driven into this world like a stake of ownership. You are mine, and I will not let you go. Father, we thank you for your mighty saving work that rescued us when we were like birds caught in a net. And so, in the hope of that great saving power, give us grace and strength to keep walking in the journey you've set before us. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.